Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Monday, June 13th, 2022. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How are you this pleasant Monday?
Oh, it's been a very active Monday. It seems like it should almost be, instead of Monday the 13th, it should be Friday the 13th, perhaps.
Oh, wow, yeah. Well, you never know. Things are always changing. We officially here in Nettie, West Virginia, hit $4.99 today. Gas went up 14 cents overnight. 14 cents.
Wow. Well, I would say, for the most part, that Americans are experiencing $5 gasoline.
Oh yeah, well that's what $4.99 is. That's $5 for sure.
Well,
that's one.
It's not quite
one tenth
five.
A penny off.
It's
one tenth
it's
a penny.
Still.
You don't buy much for one tenth a penny. I found out. So
it's all a psychological. It's all
it
psychological.
Is. It is. It is.
You
it
know.
Is.
So. But, yep, we're in for an interesting week, and I guess we all know that the Fed is looking to meet this week, see if he's going to raise it a 50 basis point, 75 basis point, or maybe a full point to fight inflation. And with fighting inflation, you're going to have the risk of crashing the markets. So I don't think the markets have fallen enough for them to – he's going to make some sort of a move in raising the rates. I'm not quite. Who knows? Nobody knows at this time, but certainly we're seeing an impact in all the markets. Everything got dumped today, including gold. And, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, you hear conversations about gold tanks and a rising interest rate scenario, and that's just really not the case. And, but that's what they want you to believe. They make excuses for gold, why you don't want to own gold, and that's just one of them. So it's not the case. We did have a, like I said, everybody sold everything today. It was just one of those days. The only thing that gained any strength was the dollar. And with that dollar rising to the degree that it's rising also causes complications. So there is no good scenario out there, but huge pullback in gold today, $50, $18.24. Silver was down 80 cents at 21.22. Platinum was also down $40, 42, 940. And palladium dipped 7.5%, $142 at 18.78. And again, sometimes when you have a sector like the like what we saw in platinum and palladium, such huge hits, it just overall affects the whole group of precious metals. So is that what went on? Nah, I just think everybody was in a selling mode. I think there was probably a ton of margin calls to be had. You know, gold was sold, and, you know, there you could probably name multiple items that could have had the impact on gold and silver today. But what no one ever talks about is the future. And where do we go from here? It is a trend for the paper markets to be falling to the degree that they're falling. But it is not the trend for gold and silver. So that is, you know, gold and silver, the performance, the fundamentals are all intact. The gold and silver market did not fall apart because it's been correcting here in the past couple of days and weeks. It only makes it stronger. It pushes out, you know, and so we have a pullback like we've had. It's okay. It's still 1823. Yeah, 1800 is going to be another test. We don't know what's going to happen to when at Wednesday's market, whether, you know, what's going to happen. But all the news out there is not good. And even if he raises rates, what is it going to do to everything else? So, okay, inflation stops at the moment. So it drops maybe 0.5%. Big deal. it's we're on this path. That first domino has been dropped, and there's nothing stopping all the other ones from falling. And so gold is not in that group of dominoes. It's not in the paper market domino game. So hang in there. Don't get disappointed. Look at it as exciting. I mean, we're experiencing something that it's dangerous. It is frightening. But at the same hand, it's kind of exciting. We're experiencing things that we have talked about for umpteen years. And I always said, we're not going to enjoy when it does happen. Because so many people are going to be hurt. You're going to have retirement accounts wiped out. People who were betting on a good retirement will be wiped out. I mean, these are not things to rejoice about. But it's still, it can be, maybe exciting is the wrong word, but it's interesting to see and experience, you know, to be in this place and see it happen. And it is frightening, Butch.
Yes, it is.
It is scary.
Yes, it is. Of course it is.
But again, these are paper markets. And I don't, you know, I'm not good at words, Butch, but, you know, war scares me more. Nuclear war scares me more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and the whole world is tense enough for something, and we're going to cover some of the things today about that, but the whole world, I mean, you can sense it. I think anyone with any kind of sensitivity as far as world affairs, what's happening to our country, can sense there's something boiling under the surface that doesn't look good at all. And I'm not trying to just tell people that to scare them. I'm telling them because I care. I do believe that we're in for a very rough road ahead, and I don't mean 10 years from now. I mean maximum months from now. I'm going to share again, so like I said, some more news on that in a little bit, but there's so many things happening that's come together so fast, Melody, and I didn't get to see. What did the markets do today?
Well, we're going to cover that right now.
Okay.
You had the Dow did come back off its lows. Right now we're looking at 876 to the downside, 30,516. The S&P was down almost 4%, 3.88, at 3,750. Now the NASDAQ got creamed. It was down 4.68%.
Wow.
I mean, the NASDAQ has lost, what, 6,000 points? It's ready to go into the 9,000s. We're at 10,809, dropping 530 points.
Wow.
Overnight, the Asia markets were all negative. The biggest droppers were the Nikkei. That was down 3%. The Hang Seng was down 3%. China didn't fare so bad. Europe's, they've been in the red for how long now? I haven't seen a green day for Europe in a long time, as long as ours, if not longer. The DAX was down almost 2.5. FTSE was down 1.5. France was down a little over 2.5. So they're all 10-year yield. We had inversions on the yields this morning. I don't know where they all closed. I got the 10-year yield 3.367%. Oil higher, natural gas was lower, but they're still moving higher. So tight supplies, and everybody is sitting back waiting kind of to see what the Fed's going to do on Wednesday. And so we just kind of have to, you know, I was reading about corporate debt. There's so many areas. Rising rates is going to hurt corporate debt even more so. U.S. corporate bonds were pummeled today as expectation of an aggressive rate hiking cycle following hotter than anticipated inflation data last week. Concerns and about companies' ability to repay their debt. Prices of major exchange-traded funds, ETFs, tracking both the investment-grade and high-yield U.S. bond markets dropped. The cost of insuring against potential defaults rose sharply. Derivatives. U.S. Federal Reserve will meet on Wednesday. I talked about that. You have a sell-off in short-dated treasuries, push the yields of the two-year government bonds to their highest since 2007. Yields are going up, which will make it harder for smaller companies to refinance. It will be harder for them to make debt payments. BlackRock's iShares iBox dollar high yield corporate bond, it's an exchange traded fund that tracks the U.S. junk. That fell 2.1%. This is the lowest since 2020 of April. Let's see if there's anything other interestings in there. So, you know, and it still cracks me up because you have all of these so-called smart analysts that, well, you know, there was a 50-50 chance we might see, maybe we'll go into a recession. No, we are in a recession.
It's already started. Don't wait longer. It's already here.
We never came out of the one, really, from 2020 when they said we were in a recession for 2 months, you know, which is a joke.
Oh, we didn't. We went further into it, basically, all the COVID nonsense still going on then. But you mentioned that the S&P took a hit. Well, you know, the Dow was down, 8,000 points over the last few months? It was one to 38,000 not too long ago.
Yeah.
It's down to 30,000 now, so that's down 8,000 points. I mean, those are things people look at and you don't think anything about it because it does it gradually, but it's going down. And you mentioned, of course, gold and silver. Folks, I keep this in my mind with gold and silver. I still got some of the stuff I bought 20 years ago. It's went up since then. But it's, no matter what happens, I still have gold and silver. No matter what else happens, I still have something of value I can swap or barter. The paper won't do it. The paper's going to go away. But if you have something tangible that everybody knows is worth something because it's been worth something for thousands of years, you have something back up. If you got in paper in a 401k or IRA or even a Bitcoin, Bitcoin took a hit too.
So yeah, down 17%. Bitcoin dropped 17%, falling below 23,000. $200 billion was wiped out over the weekend. I bet you couldn't sell it over the weekend. Everything's closed.
No, you
over
couldn't.
The weekend.
No, some of them wouldn't let you sell it. No, they wouldn't.
And then some of them, they closed. They paused withdrawals. So, you know, this is what happens. Oh, yes, it's a safe haven. No, it isn't. And, I feel bad that people are losing, you know, things that they bet on. But, $200 billion have been wiped out on the entire cryptocurrency market. And it fell below the cryptocurrency market capitalization fell below $1 trillion on Monday for the first time since earlier this year. And but the key thing there, Butch, is they just close it and say, no, you can't have your money. Yeah,
that's it.
Sorry.
Well, you know, they can
call me
close
tomorrow. Take a couple of aspirins and call me in the morning.
They can close the gold market. I still got my gold and silver. They can close it, but I still got it. See, the Bitcoin, I don't have it. And if you have paper in the bank, you don't have it either, do you?
Absolutely not. And to say, and we know banks do it. Why wouldn't any other market? Why wouldn't any other paper market? Why wouldn't, if your investments are with J.P. Morgan or if they're with gold, you know, with any of them, Goldman Sachs, any of them? What makes you think, what, you think their phones are really busy when you try to call? I'm sure they are. It's pretty easy to, you know, have a busy signal ringing on your phone just so you don't have to answer it. Oh, I don't want to answer that phone. So I don't know, Butch. I mean, which I know is ready to happen and has been happening, this isn't new.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's happened before.
Isn't it new?
It's happened before, but it's getting to a point now. It's happened before, but they can recover it a little bit. It's the recovery part probably is impossible now.
It was never a recovery part, though.
No, well,
it was never
it was
recovery.
Postponed, a postponed part.
It was postponed only by the ability of the Federal Reserve and these multinational corporations finagling these markets. There was no recovery. There hasn't been a real recovery for years. Ever since we've had the first, even going back to the 90s, there was never a recovery.
Well, and now there's not going to be a postponement, I don't think, much longer, because they've done about all they can do. And I think they know that.
They're between a rock and a hard place.
Actually. It's worldwide, not just here, but worldwide.
And you have an administration that's not doing anything to help.
No, not even. Not even.
Because, someone said to me today, this administration, that's the fall guy. They eat their own. They do.
They really do.
Biden is the fall guy. Whether you like him or not, and whatever you think of him in this administration, he's been set up to be the fall guy. And he doesn't know any better.
He didn't even know it.
He doesn't even understand it.
He didn't even know it. But we've been seeing the food markets take a hit, big time hit. I just posted on our website, it'll be in July's magazine, the 95 companies that were food suppliers or some kind of food industry that have been shut down, taken out since April of last year. Well, China-owned Smithfield Foods is closing operations in Vernon, California. And that's huge. Smithfield Foods employs about 40,000 people, about 46 different facilities, and nearly 500 company-owned farms. But they're closing one down in Vernon, California. So I don't know the reason behind
that. What was the reason, Butch?
Well, so the move is part of an overall effort to reduce the sow herd in western U.S., including Utah. It's also exploring strategic options to pull out of its farms in Arizona and California. Smithfield will serve the California market with its Farmer John brand and other products from existing facilities in the Midwest. It doesn't give you the reason. Just says they're closing. It says Smithfield's taking these steps due to escalating costs of doing business in California. There you go. California gets its tax amount of business.
Do you think it could have anything to do just because they're Chinese and they're controlling our food supply now?
Oh, no, you know better than that, Mel. They wouldn't do that. they wouldn't do
and
that.
I saw the funniest headline today, Butch. Let me see. The U.S. holds, and I saw it right before the program. Let me see if I can pull it up here. The U.S. holds candid and productive talks with China. In nearly 5-hour meeting. What did they discuss?
Yeah, really. Really.
Yep.
Good
question.
We'll
be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And yeah, Butch, you know, it's we were heading into the break and we were talking about Smithfields and closing down in California. Well, I would think a lot of Californians probably do not eat a lot of pork, being the land of
I don't know, but they said California said to run business here, the cost to run the business in California gets so high, according to this article, they decided to shut the place down. It's the only reason I saw in the whole article. And, you know, but California's still losing population. I mean, they're leaving there, you know, like fleas after you put a collar on a dog, flea collar on a dog, they're leaving. They're going somewhere. Yeah. They're now heading south of the border even. So California is losing population. And I still can't believe that they're actually talking about the governor running for president as a Democratic nominee. I mean, I just step back and marvel at this. I mean, I really do. I mean, Newsom, she.
Yeah, but hey, he was able to win. He was able to beat the...
hold his seat.
Pardon?
He was able to keep his seat.
Yeah, when they tried to oust him, he was able to keep it. But you know what? When you think about it, when you think in the mindset of the Democrats, they love the guy. They love him.
Of course.
You know, he's one of them. And you know, the only thing that the Democrats are focusing on now is January 6th hearings. And they're expecting all the, you know, they can't wait for all these people to go to jail. And it's like, you know what? Don't you think we have bigger problems? And they are so distracted by that, they can't even see what's going on. So Newsom, yeah, they'd like him. Isn't he related to old Pelosi? Are you there, Butch?
I am. I just listen to what you're saying. But, you know, I don't know, Melody, it's really hard to believe that anyone, I don't care if they call themselves Democrats or liberals or whatever they are, watching what's happening to the country, how can anyone be happy about it? How can anyone be happy about anything going on in this country today? As far as not just financial, but morally and what chaotic. I mean, how many people can really be thrilled with what's going on? I mean,
do you know what's interesting from their from their perspective? Though I don't mean to interrupt, but from their perspective, they're focusing on the Supreme Court. But you know what? It's just amazing because it doesn't have anything. I mean, they're all focused on that. They're all focused on January 6th hearings, the high oil prices. It's all those. They're gouging the corporations are just gouging the people. They have to blame somebody or something instead of really looking at the problems. And I don't get it. I mean, it's always a conspiracy theory.
I don't get it either. I mean, and you know, this conspiracy theory stuff, when you think about it, a lot of these things aren't theories. I mean, the price of gasoline is not a theory. In Eddy, West Virginia, the first time in our state's history, we hit $5 a gallon day, $4.99 a gallon. Went up 14 cents since yesterday. That's not a theory. I know I put gas in the car $20, you get 4 gallon. That's not a theory, is it?
No, it isn't.
That's not a theory. And Biden inflation tax is costing U.S. households $433 per month. This is from Schiff. Peter Schiff. Everybody was thrilled to get stimulus checks in the mail during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's free money, many exclaim. But nothing in life is free. This includes free things handed out by the government. So today you're paying for those STEMI checks and the government pandemic spending spree. I've written that American consumers are paying more than getting less. According to estimates by Bloomberg Economics, U.S. households will pay $5,200 more this year than they did last year on the same consumption basket. That breaks down to $433 per month. But you're not getting more money, any more for your money. So you spend over $5,000 extra and trying to maintain. What if you don't have that extra $433 a month? That's a chunk of money for a lot of people, including me. What if you don't have that to do this? What do you cut back on? What else do you cut back on? What do you do? Well, you don't have to drive. Yeah, you do. If you have a job or you have to go out and do anything, you have to do shopping, anything else, you have to drive. You have to be able to get out and get on the road. Don't use that, you don't have to drive. Yeah, you do. Everybody has to drive once in a while. Or pay somebody else to do it for them. So, this is for real stuff, Melody. There's nothing to laugh about. And a little bit I want to share with you about Social Security is whistling past a $96 trillion graveyard. $96 trillion. How do you absorb that, Melody? How do you absorb that?
Well, you don't.
No, you don't.
You don't.
That's why I say I don't understand. I mean, somebody has to be really, really messed up in the head to think that all this is happening is actually beneficial in any way. I mean, they really have messed up in the head.
Go ahead.
I'll read it. I'll share the article. You go ahead and make a comment there.
Well, I just want to make a comment because I was going to share with you about the 10 states that have been hit hardest by Social Security staffing cuts. So this is what happens. And it's been going on for a long time, but nobody admits it. And now we're $96 trillion in the hole. Go ahead.
Social Security has a problem, it says. As Democrats push to expand entitlements to include free preschool and subsidized child care, little attention is being getting paid to Social Security and is a financial train wreck. The program payouts have exceeded revenue since 2010, but the recent past is nowhere near as grim as the future. According to the latest annual report by Social Security trustees, the gap between promised benefits and future payroll tax rate revenues reached a staggering $59.8 trillion. The gap is $6.8 trillion larger than it was just 1 year earlier. Now, folks, let that sink in. Almost $7 trillion more gap than it was just a year ago. The biggest driver that move wasn't COVID-19, but rather the lowering of expected fertility over the coming decades. Wow. Yeah, folks, that's a fact. Note the last sentence again, folks. The biggest driver of that move wasn't COVID-19, but rather a lowering of expected fertility over the next decades. When President Roosevelt first enacted Social Security back in 1935, the intention was to serve as a safety net for the elderly. However, at the time, life expectancy was roughly 60 years of age. Therefore, expectations were that participants would not be drawing on Social Security for a very long time from an actual basis. Furthermore, roughly 16 workers paid in Social Security for each welfare recipient. Of course, given that top politicians like to use government at coffers to buy votes, additional amendments got added to Social Security to expand their participation on the program. Such included adding domestic labor in 1950 and widows and orphans in 1956. They lowered the retirement age to 62 in 1961 and increased benefits in 1972. Then politicians added more beneficiaries from the disabled to immigrants, farmers, railroad workers, firefighters, ministers, federal, state, and local government employees, etc. While politicians and voters continue to add more beneficiaries to the welfare program, the number of workers steadily declined. Today, there are barely two workers. I said barely two workers for each beneficiary. Now, let that sink in, folks. It was 16 to 1. Now it's barely two. Politicians promised you benefits but never funded them. That's according to truthinaccounting.org, which is noted that there's $96.3 trillion owed in promised and unfunded Medicare and Social Security benefits, $55.1 trillion for Medicare and $41.2 trillion for Social Security. Now, folks, we're talking trillions here, not even billions, trillions. While Uncle Sam has spent $5.9 trillion in assets, the $129 trillion owed on bills, including military and civilian retirement benefits, means the U.S. is in the hole for $123 trillion. Just unfunded liability of Medicare and Social Security added up to $96 trillion. It's a stunning amount coming due over the next 75 years. The Treasury Department sticks its proverbial head in the sand and does not even list the liabilities on the balance sheet of the federal government. Folks, let that soak in a minute. $123 trillion. According to Social Security Trustees annual report, the Social Security program will be insolvent in 13 years by 2035. At present, the program cannot guarantee full benefits to current retirees. Social Security old age and survivors insurance must trust fund will be deplete its reserves by 2034. I don't know if it's going to last that long or not. How can they run it, Mildy, when they're in the hole $123 trillion? How do you even figure that account? That's more debt than the whole nation owes. I mean, that is phenomenal.
It really is. And you know, I we've been here with the idea that, you know, we've known Social Security is bankrupt. They, you know, they've been borrowing from it for years and adding, you know, it's just, it was a program designed to fail. And it only benefited, and it really is kind of sad because it started out as a nice program to help the elderly. What's wrong with that? But it just goes to show you government can't provide for people because there's too much corruption, I guess, is just what it is, Butch.
Of course. Greed on both ends.
Greed
of the citizens, yes. They will all want more.
You know, and usually the citizens just want more but just to keep up with inflation. But, I mean, it's just, it was a nice program. I'm sure he got elected. Or politicians got reelected because of that program. And that's probably what it all comes down to usually.
Well, what it boils down to, we like it or not, that was a step towards socialism. That's what
absolutely.
That's a step towards socialism. And a warning from the scripture that cursed be the man puts his trust in man. Yep. That's Jeremiah 17:5. We started trusting man for our benefits. We got old, no longer looked at provision for ourselves through God our Father. We trust in man. And now we're paying for it big time and we're going to lose it all. That's the part people haven't grasped yet. It's going to go away. How else do you think Klaus Schwab could make the statement, by 2030 you own nothing and love it? How else could he do that unless he broke the backs economically? How could he even think about doing that? Who would go for that? Who would want to even think about even doing that unless they couldn't afford to do otherwise? Now, these are things people we need to stop and consider. These are not conspiracy theories. These are facts and numbers that we're offering you. These are not things we make up in our own head to scare you. These are facts and numbers. And when one of the elites says, you're going to own nothing and you're going to love it, you have to wonder, how do you plan to do that? Do you think everybody's going to surrender everything? Unless they have to do something to survive? Folks, if you can't eat, you do a lot of things to feed your family. That's what the Bible calls the mark of the beast. Go ahead, Melody.
No, I'm just perfectly fine with what you said. So it is true. So again, just another sign. And it doesn't matter how often Congress cuts Social Security's budget. That budget's been cut by 17% since 2010. Do you think that's really going to make a difference in all those trillions of dollars? It's a sad joke. It's a sad joke.
It is, and it's going to hurt generations to come if this world goes on. I mean, right now, if everything goes away, I think it probably will, Melody. We're living in the best of times right now as far as the economy is going to be.
So
it is. Right now, we're doing the best of time because tomorrow's going to get worse.
Yes.
Hey, 14 cents gas jump overnight. That's worse, folks. And a survey of corporate financial officers found that 100% of them expect the recessions to start in the months ahead. Wow. You ever heard of a survey where 100% of the respondents agree? Said, I can't ever recall seeing one like that, but as you will see below, 100% of the corporate CFOs that were just surveyed by CNBC believe the recession is coming by the end of next year. At this point, our economic troubles are growing up so rapidly that you would have to be deaf, dumb, and blind. That's just what I've been saying, not to see what is happening. A meltdown of historic proportions has already begun, and there is economic gloom just around everywhere, just about everywhere you look. But even though the U.S. economy is clearly moving in one direction, I still don't expect to see this sort of consensus among corporate financial executives. According to the majority, 60% of the CFOs responding to the survey, a recession will occur during the first half of 2023. No CFO forecasts a recession any later than the second half of next year, and no CFO thinks the economy will avoid a recession. The CNBC CFO Council Q2 survey is a sample of the current outlook among top financial officers. It's conducted among 22 chief financial officers and major organization between May 12th and June 6th. Folks, there's no way to avoid it. They said it. I didn't, and I agree with them. No way to avoid it. We're going to have I think the conversation, it's going to be repression. It's going to be a depression. It's going to be for people, even though you're working hard. It doesn't mean that depression doesn't mean you're out of work, folks. It just means you can't feed yourself for the reason. Doesn't mean you're not out looking for work. You might have a job working your tail off, maybe three jobs. But when you still can't feed your family, that's a depression. You agree, Melody?
I do.
So I don't know how many feel about this, you know, but I think we're going to see a lot more retirees who are able to work going back to work real soon because they can't make ends meet. So I don't have
the
that
problem.
I don't
want that but the problem with that is there aren't going to be any jobs for them to go to.
That's it, unless fast food holds on. You know, service jobs holds on. I agree.
Well, with these prices going higher, the people who decided to stay home and not work and so forth, they will be heading out into the market to take those jobs that they refused before. So, no, it will be even harder for the older people to get. Now, the only difference is older people really know how to work. We can work to the point of, we'll do the job of two people. Young people won't do that. So, the older people have a chance, but other than that,
I just read today that dogs are having a hard time, but they're being depressed because their master's going back to work, so the dogs are depressed.
I'm heading into a break. We'll be right back. Need a financial survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paw. So we've been everywhere today, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see Texas Power uses tops all-time record as the heat bakes the state. So
that was my next article. Looking right at it. Good for you.
Is that
go
right? Well, that's not my little mental ability there, Butch.
Tell you what. You must have these ESPN
stuff.
Go ahead.
I'm good.
Yeah. You go right ahead. I'll let you share that one.
Well, no, I was just, that was your intro. I mean, that was your segue, so.
Oh, that was my segue.
Yes.
Oh, you ribbon mine brought
come
in for
on, get,
by
get
golly,
to
folks,
it
she
there,
is
boy.
Good. Gee whiz. And this is out of Bloomberg, by the way, too. And I read this and worry about electricity not making it through the heat wave. And I'm still waiting for Biden to put those car charging stations every 50 miles. See how that works out. Electricity use soared to an all-time high in Texas amid a searing heat wave, topping levels as that last seen before the coronavirus pandemic. With air conditioners humming across the nation's second most populous state, demand on the power grid topped 74.9 gigawatts at 4:50 p.m. local time, surpassing a record set in August 2019, according to the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, which runs the system. The grid is operating normally, and officials say there are ample supplies to meet demand. 1 gigawatt is enough power to around 200,000 Texas homes. So 74.9 gigawatts times 200,000 is a lot of people. The record underscores the searing heat and rampant population growth underway in Texas as tech aerospace manufacturing companies flock to the state to take advantage of low taxes and relatively cheap labor. It's also a potential grim harbinger of what's to come this summer. While Texas regularly tops 100 degrees, it's early in the season for temperatures to be so extreme. The state had its second hottest May on record, the National Center of Environmental Information said Wednesday. Particularly remarkable for the region to set a power use record on a weekend when electricity demand is typically lower because of many office buildings and factories are closed. Dallas was forecast to hit 105 on Sunday, Houston will be 100, and Midland will be 103, according to the National Weather Service. Demand is forecast to peak Sunday shortly before 6 p.m. local time at about 75 gigawatts. Texas power grid remains under scrutiny 15 months after the system collapsed during a winter storm, leaving much of the state without power for days. More than 240 people, folks, died because of that winter storm. Officials enacted a raft of reforms following the crisis, but critics warn the system remains vulnerable. Of course it does. Of course it does. And what I was reading is the Dallas and Houston and Midland temperatures. I remember Joy Gibson's, Mel Gibson's wife, was a good friend of ours. She and Hutton, and that's, of course, Mel Gibson's dad. They live not too far from us. We spent a lot of time together for a while. She used to tell us, boy, it's hot in Houston. That's where she moved from. It's hot in Houston. Well, I just read it. Sorry, it hit 100 degrees. So, yeah, it's hot in Houston. But every time I read something like that, I think about Joy and how it's hot in Houston. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that. But that's if they're that afraid of this already, I keep asking the same question, how are they going to maintain something that's going to absorb so much electricity when you start driving electric cars, Melody? How can they do that? And let's say work on the infrastructure and really work on it to boost it. How can they do that?
You know, there's a price that we haven't. Well, I don't know what it is. I should drive down to the gas station that has these charging stations. What do they charge to charge your battery?
I don't know.
Yeah. So it's not like it's free, ladies and gentlemen. You still have to charge your battery and pay for electricity. But you know what? In this hot heat, I read there is more deaths in heat when we have those hot temperatures than with tornadoes and cold or any other type of climate environment. More people will pass with hot temperatures than anything else. So
I agree.
Sad.
Heat stroke is very easy. And you're getting it until you already have it.
I had it. I passed out from
You've had heat stroke?
I did.
Really?
I passed out.
Really? Okay. So it just made you lightheaded?
And I passed out. Mm-hmm. I was in Arizona at the time, and I wasn't hydrated. And we went to the lake, and in fact, it was kind of like in Arizona it gets 110, so it can happen. And I passed out.
But that was scary.
And I was okay.
That was scary. Yeah, mm-hmm. Still scary.
The only
though.
Time I've ever passed out. Oh wow. Well. When I had measles over oatmeal, I did. But other than that,
measles over oatmeal.
When I got the measles, my mom used to make me eat oatmeal, and I didn't like oatmeal when I was young. And she was also one that made you sit there at the table until you ate your food. I mean, it wasn't wasted. It was your depression. She was a depression baby child.
Right, right.
So you ate. And if you wanted to get up, so it was oatmeal, and I was just getting the measles, and I passed out in my oatmeal. So anyway,
interesting story. All right,
anyway.
We'll move on from that. I don't even think any story to follow that with, but that was a good one. Okay, we'll move on from there then.
Please do.
Now, folks, listen. Now I want you to listen to the simplicity of this, and ask yourself why. Is not the Biden administration or Congress moving in this direction? Why are they not moving in this direction? Crisis solved. Alberta, Canada has the ability to supply an additional 200,000 to 400,000 barrels a day to the U.S. High gas prices are affecting Americans at the pump, in their homes, when they're buying their groceries, pretty much everywhere all the time. Even scarier, grid operators have warned of the potential for blackouts due to hurried efforts to transition to renewable energy sources. Utility regulators have also warned half Americans are facing power blackouts this summer. Now, let me repeat that, folks. Half of the Americans are facing blackouts this summer. Half. So before it gets any worse, wouldn't this be a time for the U.S. to accept Alberta's Canada's offer to help with the energy crisis? When you think so, Melody, gee. But anyway, U.S. gas prices have hit record highs and are still climbing, especially since U.S. cut off one of its suppliers, Russia. U.S. oil producers have complained for a year that the Biden administration hasn't made policy moves to encourage more production here at home, instead of lobbying foreign producers like Venezuela and Saudi Arabia. Similar complaints are coming from our oil-rich neighbors to the north in Canada. The province of Alberta, about the same size as Texas, is just as rich in energy resources. Lisa Fletcher reports on their unanswered offer to help. An energy shock, the likes of which we haven't seen since the 1970s, a combination of rising prices, limited supply, and sudden war involving sanctions on major oil producer Russia, leave the U.S. and other nations scrambling to meet demand. Sonia Savage is Alberta's Minister of Energy and a former oil executive. She's on a campaign to put her country's oil resources at the disposal of the United States. What can Canada do to help American oil supply? Sonia Savage, here in Alberta, we sit on top of the third largest reserves in oil in the world. The third largest reserves. And we're right next door. They should be looking at us as a solution to energy security. In fact, roughly 6% of American crude oil imports already come from our neighbors to the north. In real terms, that means about 20% of the oil used in the United States comes from Canada, and there's room to grow. Sonia Savage says right now we have the ability to supply an additional 200,000 to 400,000 a day of oil. Now, Melody, why in the name of goodness wouldn't we look to Canada instead of trying to beg Saudi Arabia and Venezuela, please let us have oil? Why would we not go to Canada, get this oil, cut our fuel prices, and make it easy on American people? Are they that callous, that cold? I mean, are the leaders that uncaring for the people in this country that they won't even tap into a line a few miles north? What's wrong with us?
Well, I really think it probably has a lot to do with all our previous agreements and everything else with the Saudis. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, they still own the largest refinery in this country. And you have, you know, the agreements that we've had, the relationship that we've had with them.
That's all well and good, but it's
well,
not
no, it isn't
bulldog,
well and
so
good,
speak.
But that's, you know? That's my explanation of why, you know, they're not doing something that would truly help our problems. But the Democrats want you to believe that the reasons we have high gasoline prices and oil prices is Putin and these greedy corporate that are gouging us and charging us usury prices, that their prices aren't coming down. That's who they want us to blame. They don't want the truth to be told, and they certainly don't want to help anything. So,
well, obviously this is true. I mean, right here it is in a, right in their face, and Candace saying, here we are, let us help. But no one moved in that direction. I have to ask this again, Melody, out of 100 senators and 400 and some representatives, why is nobody pushing for this?
Okay.
Isn't that a fair question?
Why don't they push for anything?
Well, I mean,
Pelosi's sitting. They passed, I guess the Senate passed something, or I'm not sure where it started. Must have been from the Senate, and to protect the Supreme Court justices, and she's sitting on her desk. You think she'd sign that immediately. But the only ones that are at risk at their lives are the conservative judges. So
yeah,
she don't
true.
Give a darn.
Yeah.
These
well
people are evil. That's the only word I can think that
they are. They truly
plain
are evil.
Downright evil.
They have no conscience at all.
No.
And so article here, I mean, this is something that we've got to quit kidding ourselves, folks. Voting Republicans, Democrats are not going to change anything unless you know the individual personally and know that absolutely they're going to take a stand. The ones in office now obviously don't care enough to make a difference. Very few of them. So why vote for them again? Why support any of them? If you haven't seen them make a difference in the past, why trust them for the future? See. This article here is from Hal Turner, and that's a good article. Uh-oh, Bank of England says top banks no longer too big to fail. The Bank of England said on Friday it was satisfied that Biden's top banks could be shut down without putting at risk the stability of the financial system or disrupting customers, as it's found shortcomings at three major lenders. In its first public assessment of how failing lenders could be dismantled in a crisis without taxpayers' handouts, the BOE said it had also identified areas or further enhancement for six firms. The three banks found to have shortcomings were Lloyds, Standard Chartered, and HSBC. All three banks said in separate statements on Friday they were improving their so-called resolution plans. The BOE is aiming to stop banks from being too big to fail, potentially requiring taxpayers to bail them out, as happened in 2007 and 2009 global financial crisis. The other lenders included in the review were Barclays, NatWest, Nationwide, Santander UK, and Virgin Money UK. The Bank of England said it would repeat its assessment in 2024 and review progress made by the lenders every 2 years after that. So Hal Turner says, so, BOE says their top banks are no longer too big to fail. Okay, who asked them? I mean, who asked the BOE about this, that they issued a statement of this nature late on Friday afternoon? The mere existence of this public statement raised the hair on the back of my neck. It says to me, and it's just my hunch, they know something gigantic is coming, and they're already setting an air for when it hits. The real problem is that the whole world is financially interconnected. What happens in Beijing affects London. What happens in London affects New York. What happens in New York affects everyone. For issuing this statement today, we little guys need to pay close attention. In the end, it is us that gets the shaft. Very well said, Hal. Very well said. Always is us, isn't it? Always.
Yes. Always.
Always is us. Any comments on that?
No, sir.
And I'll try to share this one for another time. The National Guard is preparing, Melody, to deploy in D.C. as Supreme Court gets ready to make the Roe v. Wade overturn. We've already seen violence. I have a guy on my program. Let's see, what night is that? As a matter of fact, it's going to be, I'm looking to see, it'll be on it'll be when I get back from my trip, that run a pro-life shop in New York. They just got firebombed last week. The other side, the so-called pro-murderers, are out already in violence and using violence to try to intimidate people. And it isn't, I don't want to say, they're doing very little to stop it. They're doing the courts
little.
Are kind of ignoring it. Cops are ignoring it. Very little to stop it.
So no news about anything.
The National Guard. No, that's it. That's exactly right.
You know my question. My question, Butch, it's going to be interesting to see what happens if they don't overturn this, or if they do overturn this, and you have these Democrats and liberals and all the others. You know they're going to storm the Supreme Court. You know they.
Oh
are.
Yes.
They're already planning for it. So why didn't they plan for January 6th? Because they already knew about it. They figured something might happen. But do you think that the people storming the Supreme Court is going to, you know, they'll be applauded?
Well, unfortunately, you're right. And that's really sad. This is a law system that favors the other side, we'll say. And we're in for a heck of a battle ahead, folks. We really are.
Well, we're out of time. That hour went by really fast. And we're going to miss you. So be safe on your travels.
Well, I'll be back with everybody Wednesday.
Oh, you're going to be here Wednesday?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh.
I'm not leaving to Friday.
Oh, okay.
I'm not leaving to Friday.
Okay.
So are you going to join me Wednesday?
I don't know.
Okay.
I might.
Well, let me know. I'll be here.
Alrighty. Well, I hope the listeners are too. Until then, be safe.